Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Dr. Elson Haas as my special expert guest. Elson M. Haas, MD, is a medical practitioner with more than 35 years experience in patient care, always with an interest in natural medicine. For the past 30 years, Dr. Haas has been instrumental in the development and practice of integrated medicine at a clinic that he began in 1984 and directs called Preventive Medical Center of Marin in San Rafael, California. At this multidisciplinary center with a range of experienced practitioners, patients can receive the quality of cooperative care that looks at causes and natural remedies as much as possible. Dr. Haas is an education partner and professor of holistic nutrition practice at Clayton College of Natural Health. In this role, he works with Clayton's faculty and contributes to the creation of curricula, as well as interacts with students through conference calls and online chats. Dr. Haas is also a popular author of 7 books, including Staying Healthy with the Seasons, The New Detox Diet, Staying Healthy with Nutrition, The False Fat Diet, The Staying Healthy Shopper's Guide, Vitamins for Dummies, and a cookbook for all seasons. Good morning, Dr. Haas, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
Good. I'm happy to be with you here, Corey.
It's great to have you online. We really appreciate the time. Now, can you tell us, and I'm sure everybody's always interested, why a person goes into medicine, and what is it that motivates you when you're thinking way back when you're a young person in high school and maybe in medical school, or before even going into that? What was your motivation for going into medicine?
Well, I'd had an interest in science, and I didn't really have an interest in health too much. But I just, it's not even, you know, sometimes there's decisions that we make in our life that we don't even think about, we just do. And that was kind of going into med school. I actually jumped out of University of Michigan into a special program they offered me to go into med school before I even graduated. So then I did a year of internship, and, I was out in practice at 24. And already at that time, I started to have a personal interest in health and healing, realized I didn't really learn any of that in medical school. And I saw that patients' lives were all intertwined with their illnesses. They weren't really separate. And so I realized that lifestyle is really everything. It's important. And, you know, my whole approach in healthcare is lifestyle first, natural therapies next, drugs last.
Fantastic. So. Now, looking back, when you graduated from medical school, do you think school has changed? Do you think that the new doctors today are coming out with a new attitude or more information?
Sad to say, not enough. In the last month, I've had a resident working with me in my office to have an experience of what it's like to do, you know, be part of an integrated practice. She's a yoga teacher, but she's also a resident, which is still, you know, a deadly kind of a profession, working 90 hours a week and taking care of acutely ill people. And she still said, I didn't even have one class in nutrition in med school. So I think there's still a lot to work on to bring nutrition, preventive medicine into our mainstream care.
Now, speaking of preventive, that term, complementary, integrative, alternative, natural, we've all heard these terms. Not everyone really understands them clearly. So, you know, most people, including the masses, are still conventionally minded. They're going to allopaths. They're looking for the drug for the disease, the classic concept. So what is different between the kind of medicine that you practice and maybe the conventional type?
Well, as I explained it to you and your audience, and I explain it to patients, it's really pretty common sense. When I tell people this in speaking around the country, it makes no sense that they would want anything that doesn't look at the causes of their problems and all that. On my website, and you know what I speak about is 4 key components of integrated medicine. That's really, and how it's a little bit different from a Western approach, which I call attack and conquer approach. Name a disease and give it a pill, which doesn't really address healing. So the components of integrated healthcare have to do with, they look at all levels of human being, not just their what's wrong with them, but how they're living, their diet, you know, their emotional energy, etc. It's multidisciplinary in its treatment approach, so it doesn't just prescribe meds, but it can offer natural nutritional therapies, hands-on work, acupuncture, homeopathy, things like that. It combines, in practice, supporting health and preventive medicine with medical treatment. So it's not just medical treatment, and that's one of my messages to the healthcare system, is we need to bring health back into the healthcare system and into doctor's office. And the fourth component is it looks at causes. When we're ill, most people are thinking, okay, what can I take to make this go away? Now, that's a conventional Western medicine approach, but a more classical, or I call what I do traditional medicine, based on traditions, which is herbal medicine throughout most of the cultures of the world, etc. But when we don't feel well, we really want to ask ourselves, body, what's going on? What do you want to tell me? What do I need to do for healing, or what's needed for healing? Because it's not always just something to do. Sometimes it's a way to be, or a way of thinking about life differently, or having a different attitude. So that's, you know, to me, the integrated approach looks at all these different components. And when you ask, you know, an average person, wouldn't you like to figure out what's causing your problem so you can get rid of it and not necessarily just be treating it? Most people would say yes. Just like as we age, we want to say, well, it's not so much the quantity of years, but for some people it is, but it's the quality. Most people want to live long, but they want to be healthy. They want to have their mind working, their body working. And, you know, sadly, as you know, Corey, that most people don't live that way, and they end up being managed for many medical problems. There are years that they should be able to enjoy.
Now, what about a comparative analysis between Canada practicing as a physician? Because it's very restrictive here, very controlled, you know, it's socialized medicine. And I look at you down there with a lot more freedom in preventive medicine, alternative application. I know physicians here that if they did what you did, they would lose their license, or they would be punished or pressured not to do that. So how do you see yourself in America practicing versus how you would see yourself maybe in Canada, and what the differences between the two might be?
I've traveled in Canada actually several times in the last year. I've been teaching up in Toronto, speaking at the Canadian School of Natural Nutrition, which uses my Staying Healthy with Nutrition book for one of their course textbooks. My understanding, there's still doctors who can practice and provide natural medicine and alternative care. They're just not necessarily part of the government system, so people have to be seeing them separately and paying out of pocket. And that's also true in this country. Now, I have a lot of people who envy the Canadian system because everybody's got health care. But, you know, the level of health care that they have maybe serves many people, but it doesn't really serve health. And so I think we can be aligned in the fact that the system is still bought and sold by the drug companies, the hospitals, and the places where we shouldn't really be profiting from human suffering. Now, this whole topic can get into a little bit more, but this is what I'm writing about now in the new book of mine. So just the whole way to improve the healthcare system and bring health into it, really.
Awesome. Fantastic. Well, I look forward to that. Now, you started the Preventive Medical Center of Marin, and how did you get that idea? What motivated you to do that?
Again, it's just something that kind of flowed my way. I was already doing a natural medicine approach. I had my own practice from about 75 to 83, doing a bit of a Chinese barefoot doctor of philosophy, where I had people sign on with me for the year, and I would evaluate them and kind of keep them tuned up, and they paid me to stay well, and if they got sick, I would have to get them back on track a little bit. And then I went in with some other docs, and then I ended up taking over this office because they all took off into another realm. And really, the last 25 years, I'm having a gathering with my office staff, about 20 plus, and it's our 25th anniversary coming up here next week. So pretty excited about what we're doing there. We do family medicine with an integrated approach, and I have a lot of good experienced practitioners there. You can see about us on the website, pmcmarin.com. And we do what I call a model of new healthcare, and I am the only alternative-oriented physician in all of Northern California that I know of that uses insurance. So I work within the insurance model, you know, providing some of the services, you can't, not everything, but many of the services for people who, you know, can't afford to go off and see other doctors who are charging $300-$500 an hour for specialized care. It's a lot of extra work, and I'm proud of being able to do that.
Outstanding. Now, you mentioned your book, Staying Healthy with Nutrition, and it really comes to mind on a personal level. I don't recall, you probably won't remember this, but Trace and I saw you speak for the first time at an Anaheim trade show, and that sort of stuck with me because what you said really made a lot of sense. You know, it's just common sense, you identify causes and you work with nature. Well, I was impressed by you. So we go back to Vancouver, and years later, we sell our gym, we take a trip down to Palm Springs, and I'm really not clear about whether or not I want to continue on, because the industry isn't always kosher. Not everybody in it is absolutely reliable, and there's some frustrations. And so sort of feeling flustered, I'm thinking, do I really want to stay in this industry? Well, I went into a bookstore and I saw your book and it just had come out. And so I remembered seeing you speak and you made a big impact. So I read that book cover to cover. And it's such a great book. You said it's a text that's used at Clayton and different colleges and different distance learning courses. So that's a kind of a book that I think should be out there in the public school system that every medical doctor should read. But just for our listeners who haven't read it, in a nutshell, maybe, what is the book about and what was your major punch for writing that book?
Basically had to do with what the focus my practice took, and I realized that nutrition and the use of nutritional supplements and herbs was really an important field, and I really start from the ground up. But, you know, I often do a talk about nutrition. I'll hold up my 1,000-plus page book and say, you know, you don't really have to get this because I could summarize it into one line for you, and that line is, eat wholesome food, avoid junk and chemicals. We want to eat closer to nature, and that was my first book, Staying Healthy with the Seasons, came out in 81, was about get back to nature, eat closer to nature, pay attention to the cycles and the seasons. You know, eat seasonal food, more natural food. Every step away from nature is a loss in nutrition and enzymes and vitality. So the nice thing about staying healthy with nutrition, my team of Bethany Argyle and Neil Murray, who made it very user-friendly. I mean, even though it's a big, kind of awesome, scary book to some people when they first get it sent to them as part of their course, it's so organized. It's organized quite like a computer program. That's how we laid it out, with a lot of visuals and icons for every little chapter. But it's divided into four parts, and part one is the building blocks, which is water and carbohydrates and proteins and all the aspects there. Chapter on vitamins, every vitamin, then a mineral chapter, and then this other chapter of special supplements, which are different oils and herbs and glandulars and CoQ10 and a lot of other commonly used things. So it helps people understand and reference what these things really do in the body and how to use them and all these different aspects. Part two goes into all the foods and diets. Then part three is how to put a healthy diet together. And then part four is called lifestyle programs and special nutritional supplement program. It goes through pregnancy and elderly and, you know, adolescents. And then it goes through performance enhancement programs and then medical treatments, like how to deal with depression naturally and, you know, ADHD and all these different problems, fatigue, cardiovascular issues, cancer prevention. I write a lot about that. And then the last part is on detoxification, which is something I'm pretty well known for. It's helping people kind of clean up their habits. So, you know, that's basically the course. And it's a textbook that, but it's really written so that the average layperson can really understand things. I mean, any specialized terms, biochemical terms, can be described so you understand them.
Absolutely. So well written and easy to read, and it's something that you can refer to as an encyclopedia. I remember something in there. It was called the Nutrition Wheel. It was a wheel, some type of wheel that you designed.
Yeah, that's one of the opening visuals. Yeah, I like to do wheels. I have a whole t-shirt company, and we produce for Bethany reflexology socks and these different wheels that were symbols from the acupuncture wheel. And in Staying Healthy with the Seasons, there's a wheel with a clock of when energy moves into the different meridians and all that. But yes, the nutrition wheel, which goes from kind of the seed and growth all the way to the table.
Yeah, that was really cool. Yeah, very much so. Easy to see and understand that flow, and that's a great way to teach people.
All my books have a visual component because I think people learn when they use their left and right brains together, not just words. As Bethany says, words on paper are just only one level of it. Or one of her favorite lines is, a pile of pages is not a book. Because a book has to do, as a life, it has a way of communicating to people.
Right on. Now, I was going through your site and looking at some of what you do at the center there, and allergies kind of stood out, and there's a lot of it up here. People, especially in Vancouver, it's sort of a warm, moist, rainy rainforest, lots of mold and allergies and asthma. So I'm noticing a lot of people getting worse and suffering a lot, and I'm asked this too, and I'm sure you are. How does a person in their 30s or 40s or even 50s all of a sudden develop an allergy? It's like, you know, it just sort of hit me like a lightning bolt. What's all that about?
There's many problems that come from lifestyle and 20 or 30 years of doing something. But when I write about, I call them food reactions, because allergy is only one type of reaction. And when people don't feel well, when they get congested or they get a skin rash or something like that, they're looking at it as allergy, but really it's more, you know, certain biochemical, immune, and hormonal reactions to stress on the gastrointestinal tract, poor digestion, assimilation, and the repetitive use of foods like wheat and dairy, for example, which are so overly used and in most processed foods. The whole picture, I write about that in my book, The False Fat Diet. Now, originally the title I had, the working title, but it was changed by the New York publisher, was The 4-Week Natural Allergy Cure, because I found when people had environmental allergies and they cleaned up their diet, they often got less congested and less allergic. And so I realized a lot of it, you know, that happened for me when I did my first fast in 1975. The allergies I had for 20 years, day in and day out, cleared. You know, I just started to breathe clearly, sleep better, and all kinds of things changed, energy and vitality. So I realized that, you know, I was eating, you know, way too much junk, and I started to clean up my diet back then. So that's what, now I'm 35 years ago almost.
So, I mean, you're a well-known expert on detoxification. You've written on it and taught about it, and people refer to you as a resource now. And you mentioned fasting, so you're obviously into fasting. But what kind of fasting do you recommend? Is it suited to the individual? Do you have a certain sort of classical or traditional approach to detox and cleansing?
Yeah, in the New Detox Diet book, I have people understand it, because to me, you can't apply any one thing to everybody, and everybody needs to pay attention to that. And like, it's the best diet, you know, the one that works for you. You know, as I tell people, Corey, what's the best exercise? People say, oh, is it walking? Is it, you know, and I said, no, it's the one that you'll do. Because a lot of people, they have these ideas, and then if they can't follow through on them, it's wasted. So detoxification really, to me, is a missing link. And we all consume too much food in general and too much junk, and we're exposed to too many toxins. So it comes to, you know, I have this idea that I've written about, kind of the one disease model, which is cellular malfunction, and there's two causes of that. One is deficiency, not getting all the vitamins, minerals, amino acids, fatty acids, and phytonutrients from fresh plant foods, so that feed and nourish the cells and help it do all the functions it does. The other side is toxicity, when we get too much junk and chemicals, metals that come in the air, food, and water. Those interfere with enzymes and cell function. So the way that we can heal most problems is we nourish ourselves with quality food, and we get rid of the junk and chemicals. So we get away from the sugar and processed foods, and, you know, maybe eat more organic foods and things like that. That itself is the process of detoxification. Okay, now you can do more, and everybody can handle that. Say, eat better foods and get rid of the junk. Well, who's not going to improve their health with that? Then there's also the level where you can do more stimulated detoxification, where you can just do only fresh fruits and vegetables, say, or then you get into juices, with water fasting being the most extreme. Now, I guide people in juice cleansing, but in my practice, I'll do like a 10-day guided juice cleanse. But I will hand-select those patients that I see that I know can handle it and really get good benefit from it. They need to change their habits and all that. So I use detoxification as a way to move from one way of eating and living to another. And that way, people can do it and have some positive results, but they need to pay attention to what's right for them. When somebody is deficient, you know, they're cold, they're underweight, their energy's low, they're losing their hair, they're anemic, their thyroid's low, et cetera, their adrenals are low. Those people need to be nourished. They don't need to be detoxified. They don't need to go on juice cleansing. I've seen so many people misuse the idea of detoxification and cleansing. So that's why, in my book, I make it very user-friendly and say, if you have these kinds of problems, this kind of detoxification may help you. So to me, the best way to do it is to be educated yourself. And that's really why I write books, is to empower people so they know how to be their own best guides and doctors, really.
What about these urban trendsetters? They just live a really unhealthy lifestyle. They're super stressed out. They party a lot. They're doing a lot of drinking and smoking and overeating and eating junk. And then they reach kind of a threshold. And then they purge. They go into a maple syrup diet or some kind of crazy short term. And they go right back into it. Do you think that really damages their mind and body long term, that approach?
Well, I do a little of that. I mean, I've been doing Master Cleanser every year for 10 days. That's lemonade and with maple and cayenne pepper and water. But I do it it's like a rite of spring, okay? The overall picture is balance is the key, okay? We need to support ourselves nutritionally and make sure that our body stays strong and healthy. Going to extremes is not ideal. If you're feasting and fasting, the thing is, if you use a cleanse as a ritual to purify your body and clean up your house and clarify your mind, focus on who you are and what you want to do. That's how to use it. To me, it's almost a religious, spiritual experience. And that's what I guide people in. But the idea you do that is you come out the other side not going back into your old habits. I use it as a way to get people away from one of my acronyms, the snack habits, S-N-A-C-C, sugar, nicotine, alcohol, caffeine, chemicals. Most people in Western civilizations are hooked at a daily basis to one or more of those substances. So I use cleansing and detox as a way to kind of take a break from caffeine, break from alcohol, break from sugar, and move into a healthier state. And to me, that's the common sense, effective way to do detoxification.
Now, just conjuring up memories, Stanley Burroughs, remember the Healing Through the Age of Enlightenment, the guy that sort of, I guess he created the Master Cleanser?
Yeah.
Did you ever meet him?
Oh, yeah, I met him and worked with him. I went to hear him talk, and then I worked with him a little bit back in 75 and 76. And he's the one who got me inspired to do it, and then I did it. I've adapted, you know, what I write about, and I've adapted his program a little bit from what I've seen work in nutritional knowledge, but he was a great inspiration for me. I think, you know, I've probably influenced, next to him, probably as many people to do detox and cleansing as a way to improve their health. Most of my books kind of talk about that at some level. That was one of my good memories.
Yeah, and who might be some of the other mentors that you've had that really made an impact on you and sort of steered you in a positive direction?
Well, my patients are always, because I'm always learning from them. I worked with Marty Rossman, who did a lot of guided imagery work in Irving Oil way back in the 70s. They were really, Irving's passed away, but Marty's still around teaching hypnotherapy and mind-body healing. He's got a website, I think healingmind.com or .org. And then a lot of herbalists I used to walk the land with, you know, Michael Tierra and Rosemary Gladstar and Jeannie Rose and many others, and I studied a lot of herbal medicine in the 70s. You know, I think just all the staff and the team of people I work with, and, you know, Bethany Argyle, my business associate of, you know, 30-plus years, and she's always been an inspiration to me, and if you read any of my books, you'll see comments and writing from her, and we're working on all, you know, we want to reach the children now, so we're working on health education material for children about getting back to nature as well, learning about how the body works, learning how to take care of it so you can create good health for your life. And to me, that's important because most people who have habits in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, you know, they just can't change very easily, and I think we need to reach the young people.
Absolutely, no doubt about that. We've experienced limitations, though. I mean, you want to get the message to the kids, but we find that in order to get to the kids, you got to get to the parents because they're the ones that buy all the food.
I think we can get some new materials into the schools. I think that's going to help, too.
Absolutely, definitely. Education, how important is that? So now what about athletes, working with athletes or active people? I know I've read your stuff. You promote activity, physical exercise. It's obviously one of the essential components. So what about athletes that eat junk, but they train? And then you get the other side of the coin where you get the inactive sort of vegans and carrot juice drinkers who do no exercise at all, but they're really focused.
Got to go together. One thing I'll say is if you exercise regularly, you can get away with a lot worse health, you know, nutritional habits than if you don't work out. We're actually obviously coaching people, Corey, to the optimum. For people who are active, I want them to have high-powered nutrition, good nutrient-to-calorie basis, where like a good smoothie with powders like green powder, some red powder. You know, my good friend Tony O'Donnell, yeah, he'd be a great guest for you too. He produces greens and reds, which is pomegranate and acai and mangosteen and blueberry and a little protein powder. I think athletes are a little over-focused on protein, but they do need a little more protein. But one of the things that athletes don't do enough is stretch, so good stretching. And there are a lot of natural anti-inflammatories, curcumin, turmeric, and bromelain, and you know, there's a lot of good formulas out now, and antioxidants that help go along with, you know, pushing your body. And so I have a whole section in Staying Healthy with Nutrition on athletic performance and the kinds of things we want to know about. You know, resveratrol is important now, CoQ10, fish oils are all helpful. But some of the more important nutritional support.
In Vitamins for Dummies, what approach do you take with somebody that's taking nothing? Do they need to be evaluated first, or do you just start off with a basic recommendation?
You can evaluate people, but usually you can tell what their state is just by looking at their diet and their overall health, and you can do general chemistry. But there are labs that will measure vitamins, minerals, CoQ10, other antioxidants, and things like that. What people need is so individual. You know, so learn, you know, we need to learn what they're doing. Staying Healthy with Nutrition and Vitamins for Dummies offers simple yet pretty extensive advice, but it's not a precise science. It's really, you know, almost all healthcare is experimental, I say, or experiential, and you got to do it and see how you feel with it. But in terms of maybe five important nutrients that people should think about, kind of a general multivitamin mineral that's right for your, you know, age and gender. So men don't need much iron, if any. Women in their menstrual years, you know, need regular iron intake. Omega-3 oils from fish oil and or flax oil. Vitamin D, almost everybody needs vitamin D now, we're finding out. The research has just changed a huge amount. There's a video that I just did on vitamin D for Clayton. And CoQ10, some people can utilize. Trace minerals are important to help hydration and circulation. So vitamin C also, they're, you know, kind of the top five or six.
Right on. That's always good to start with those because they're time-tested and reliable, and the science is certainly there. It's kind of like what I do with exercise. You know, there are movements that are very reliable, and most people don't do them or do them well. So with nutrition now, you get that down, you add dietary supplements, you're working out, and why is it that so few people are actually doing this? And I'm talking about not maybe young athletes, 18, who are charged and energetic and focused, but we're talking like 30, 40, 50. Why are so few adults doing what needs to be done? Isn't the state that they're in, the disease, the pathology, the suffering, the inflammation, isn't that enough to drive people away from that to, you know, people like yourself on the masses? Like, it seems like people are getting worse and worse and that the whole system's going down. I don't see a lot of improvement in adults.
Well, apparently not. I mean, you travel around the country, you see people, how out of shape they are, how, you know, just people just get inundated with the lifestyle. And, you know, I think a common problem I see is just people can't keep up with themselves. They're just kind of burned out. And they, you know, unless you make, one of the things I do, I realized when I became a doctor, is that the greatest gift that I could give, the one of the highest arts, I read this in kind of Chinese medicine philosophy, the highest art of a physician is to inspire and guide people on how to take care of themselves so that they can improve their health. And just to treat their problems is not really serving them. That's like giving a starving person a meal, but if a whole village, say, knew how to grow food and feed themselves, and, you know, you can help them for a much longer time. So, you know, people need more direction, they need more support, and they're lazy. So I encourage people, I think it starts first with attitude, okay? When you can get people to shift their attitude to, you know, I'll get by, and, you know, nothing's killing me yet, so I can get away. You know, most people want to get, you know, they'll get away with whatever they can. But my goal is to move health and up in the priority list, so that it's up there with work and family at least, if not even higher. I mean, because if you're not healthy, you can't do your work, you can't take care of your family. So to me, it needs to get moved up. And a lot of people, health, how they take care of their bodies, is priority number 8 or 10. And it's not going to get that much attention. So I think our goal is to be, you know, a good example and to do what we know we need to do, which is work out somewhat every day. You know, I tell people 7 to 10 hours a week. If you're not moving your body, stretching, doing active things, doing some weight, and you're keeping your body flexible, you're underworking. So you may even think 15 to 20 hours. I don't know, but, you know, I think you gotta find some basic there. People need to stretch every day and move their bodies.
Absolutely. No, that the stretching component is one of the essential components, you know, like a warm-up, core training, resistance training, cardio, but stretching is as important to me, and we certainly do get that message across. Now, maybe time for one more question, and maybe it's an essential one because you refer to the word. What does health mean to you? Like, when we strive to become healthy, how do we know we're there?
Well, my some thoughts about health and performance, and, you know, it has to do with vitality. It has to do with feeling alive. And to me, I bring it back to you, the listener, which is, you know, what can you do to improve your health? Okay, so I occasionally write down, like I just wrote preparation this. I said my five keys for me, because I know where I is, get regular exercise, focus on vegetables when I eat, chew my food well, eat light at night, so don't eat too much at night, and drink water before, you know, in the morning and before meals, you know, in between meals, not so much with what they do. Now, as you all listen, one of the, you know, minimal detox programs I do with patients and when I speak is what I call the Big Five elimination diet. And I suggest people do this for 30 days where you just kind of put your boots on, get yourself ready, and organize yourself, and you stay off anything with processed sugar, alcohol, caffeine, wheat products, and dairy products. So get rid of cow's milk and cheese and all those things. And you just take a break from that. There's still lots of things to eat. There's still 100 different foods you can eat, but you're eating fresh, wholesome foods. You see how you feel, and then you go from there. And, you know, if you feel better, then you can, you know, slowly bring those foods back at a time and see what you notice from it. If you feel fine with it, no big deal. But most people will notice that when they bring wheat back in, it upsets their stomach again, it makes them tired, their brain is a little foggy. This gives you a chance. We talked about food reactions and allergy before. I mean, there's testing you can do, but the best test is do an elimination and then a challenge. And then you find out for your own body what works and doesn't work for you. And to me, this is, you know, my goal when I became a doctor was, you know, what I really want to teach people is to be aware of what they're doing and how it affects them. Most people are stages away from that. And you have to be present and fully alive to be able to notice this. And that's, to me, what health is.
Awesome. Fantastic. And you mentioned one of your websites, pmcmarin.com. You've got your own website by your own name as well?
Yeah, elsonhaas.com. That's www.elsonhaas.com. And that links in with my pmcmarin.com too.
And you've got a newsletter, you've got some questions and answers, and you've got some good stuff there.
Yeah. I want to have a brand new book coming out which has to do with eating more vegetables too. It's called More Vegetables, Please, with my friend and chef, Patty James, who's got a website too, pattyjames.com. She'd be a fun guest for you to have. So we have this book coming out probably mid to late October, so just before the, you know, the holiday time.
Fantastic. Well, Elson, our time is gone, and thanks so much for taking the time to do the interview, but also on a personal level, thank you for the impact that you have made in my life. You know, I'm listening to you, I'm going back in my mind to when I first heard you speak, and you're still saying the same thing. So thank you for being so steadfast. Thank you for being committed and for what you're doing, because you are a true teacher. You're really helping people to help themselves, to be accountable, and the stuff that you're putting together, it's a legacy that's going to become bigger and more mighty than even what we could imagine. So thank you very much for that.
Yeah, thank you, Corey. And I do want it to reach everybody. And this is so people, you know, our whole system, you know, both in Canada and the U.S. are so far away and so backwards in the way we're approaching health. And, you know, that's the key message is we got to bring health back into our own lives and into the healthcare system. So power to the people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Dr. Elson M. Haas, M.D., is a medical practitioner, well-known author, a pioneer of integrative medicine. We thank you very much.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Represent his lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU, sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight, Malik, with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life, live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see ya changing heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.